Thank you, Father. We decree that as we go into the world this morning, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of liberality which is bestowed upon us by the giving of the Spirit. We do ask and receive that there is revelation and wisdom in the knowledge of your Son. There is clarity here. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. And we decree that at the end of this meeting, we as believers are edified and only Christ is glorified. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're doing the series, New Man in Christ. Last week, Sunday, we were able to establish, I remember on Sunday, I started speaking about the new man in Christ, and you know, and I briefly spoke about the integrity of God's word on Sunday, and we placed emphasis more on that on Wednesday. New man in Christ. I'm a new man in Christ. You're a new man in Christ. You know, so today we'll be dealing with something very interesting. We're going to be dealing with, so in the next 2 months, we're going to be dealing with the several realities that are our realities in Christ. So we're going to be dealing with our realities in Christ. And today we'll be teaching about our reality of redemption. Reality of redemption. Let's go through 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Study to show thyself approved, a workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've established over and over that Paul was admonishing Timothy, his spiritual son, that he should be eager and diligent to show himself as approved of God, not to be approved of God. You know, he says, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, and we said that disposition is for every minister of the gospel. Yeah, every man that has been called into the ministry of reconciliation from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 is that man that has been given what? The responsibility to rightly divide the word of truth. So, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away, all things have become new. Verse 19, to be that God is in Christ, he has reconciled the world back to himself. He has given us ministry of reconciliation now. So, in Christ's stead, we go and reconcile the world back to him. He that knew no sin was made sin. Am I right? Yeah, it was made sin, you know, that might become the righteousness of God. So, we see that there is a specific ministry that has been given to every believer. And that specific ministry was what Jesus highlighted in Matthew 28. Go to Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, Jesus came and spake unto them. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. It says, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We already established that the commandments that Jesus gave to his disciples, we see that Luke highlighted them properly in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 3. You know, the Bible says that Luke was saying that Jesus taught for how many days? How many days did Jesus teach for? What was he teaching? He was teaching a type of commandment. He was teaching a commandment. He was specific about what he taught. You know, Jesus never taught about kingdom takeover. Jesus never spoke about financial breakthrough. Jesus never spoke about how to take over your company. Jesus never spoke about how to start a company. Jesus never spoke about success outside the fact that a man that is successful is that man that has been found in Christ. So he taught for 40 days to the extent that immediately he finished teaching, the next thing that his disciples were asking him is, when will you restore the kingdom back to Israel? That is clearly to say that if Jesus had spoken about that and answered that, there will not be a need for them to ask that question. So it will mean that Jesus never spoke about presidency. It will mean that Jesus never spoke about who is. So it will mean that God does not ordain anybody to be a president of the country. You know how it's very funny how some prophets know how to show you how Donald Trump is the one Nehemiah spoke about. Have you seen prophets like that? They know how to show you how, and the way they will analyze it, there's no how you will not see Trump in the Bible. They have so much knowledge, and when they open scripture, like actually, he spoke about 20. Trump. He started business first, then came and took over power. But you've lost the point the moment you see that scripture is talking about physical events. In as much as what scriptures write about a physical event, but you've lost the point if your attention is on what? Physical events. So the things that happen in scriptures that are written down, they are pointer to something greater, something greater, something greater, which is what? Salvation. So Jesus said that, go ye therefore and teach, teach, teach. No matter what to teach is to what? Make people students, make people disciples, make people students. And he now used that word, teaching them to observe. So that word teaching there is in affiliation to a specific type of teaching. So your biology teacher, for instance, is a teacher of biology. So a teacher of the gospel should be a gospel teacher, or a gospel teacher should be a gospel teacher, or a teacher of the gospel, or rather a minister of reconciliation should teach what? Reconciliation. So what you are teaching from scriptures is reconciliation. So that is why Paul went further in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says that, and that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you skillful unto salvation. Skillful regarding salvation. All scriptures are given by inspiration to make you wise. All scriptures are given by inspiration. They are profitable for what? Doctrine. And in doctrine, what do we find? Reproof. What is reproof? What's the word there? Reproof. Evidence, yeah, assurance, yeah. And in evidence, what do we find? In assurance, what do we find? Correction, to rectify, to straighten up. And after that, what do we find? Instruction in righteousness. You know, so we know our abilities, or we know what we are made up of in Christ from where? Scriptures. The scriptures are already God inspired. Write that down in your notes. Scriptures are already God inspired. Scriptures are already God inspired. Scriptures are already God inspired. So what does that mean? It means that God inspired that the scriptures should be written. It means that for God to have inspired that scriptures are written, there was an intent for the scriptures to be written. And Paul highlights it in the verse before. It says to make you wise unto salvation. So when you read scriptures, there's a wisdom you should get from scriptures. And the wisdom you should get from scriptures is wisdom regarding what? Salvation. So when you are reading scriptures, the knowledge you should go away from, or the knowledge you should take away from scriptures when you close your Bible is what? The knowledge of salvation. Knowledge of how God became a man to save mankind. Hallelujah. You know, so today we're going to be dealing with reality of our redemption. Now, remember Jesus, look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24 verse 24. Luke chapter 24 verse 24. A certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but he they saw not. So this is a conversation of the fact that they were surprised about an event that happened. And the reality of that event that they were surprised about was right in front of them. So they were having a conversation with the person that surprised them. Yeah? So, you know, Jesus asked what is happening. Yeah, they were telling Jesus that, don't you know what is happening? Where it is happening? You know, they were telling Jesus about the happening. We're telling Jesus the happener about the happening. I don't know if that's correct, but they were telling Jesus about Jesus. Yeah, but they didn't know they were telling just about Jesus. That should tell you that there was a high sense of unbelief when they read scriptures. Then, and they read scriptures, but there was a huge sense of disbelief in scriptures. If they believed in scriptures, they would have seen lots of scriptures where it spoke about how a lamb, a son is given, a child is born. They would have seen that and seen that, okay, this thing looks consistent with all the prophecies that have been consistent. Remember, Old Testament scriptures are scriptures that span over hundreds of years, saying one message. Yeah? So if they had, even if they didn't believe Moses, at least they should have gone to First King. They should have gone to Isaiah. They should have gone to Isaiah. They should have read Isaiah. Okay, even if Moses was not clear enough, Moses was teaching about Christ, but Moses was saying heaven and earth. Moses was saying big song, greater song, lighter song. Even though it might have not made sense, but they should have seen Isaiah said it clearly. For unto us, a child is born and a son is given. You should have seen Isaiah said that, by whose stripes we will be healed. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we will be healed. Remember, when Isaiah was speaking about by his stripes we are healed, he's not talking about physical healing. Yeah? Because scriptures are to make you wise into salvation. Now, the fact that you've received salvation, you can superimpose the ability of the Holy Ghost upon your physical body. There's a power of the Holy Ghost that you can use to heal yourself. But what Christ came to die for is healing in the sense that healing is the fact that we have returned to what? A sheep that have been led astray, we return back to the bishop of our souls. So healing is a spiritual healing. The healing that Christ provided is what? Spiritual healing. By this spiritual healing and the ability we have by the spiritual healing, we can physically heal our body. Whatever Christ provided on the cross of Calvary, whatever Christ provided upon resurrection, they are eternal realities. Yeah? So if you can tell me that a believer can be sick, it simply means that healing is not an eternal reality. Yeah? Yeah? It simply means that healing is not an eternal reality. However, based on the understanding of that eternal reality, you can superimpose the ability and the power of the Holy Ghost on your physical body. So when they read scriptures, but they did not read scriptures. You see that? They read scriptures, but they did not read scriptures. How do we know that? Look at what Jesus said in verse 25. Okay, so then he said unto them, "O fools, yeah, you are slow of heart to believe. What were you slow of heart to believe? All that the prophet said." So there was a saying the prophet said. The prophets were saying, so remember Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, remember that teaching? The prophet at sundry times spoke to the fathers in diverse manner. Yeah, God had spoken unto us through his son. So the prophets were speaking in diverse. Okay, let's go there. I taught that on Wednesday, right? So I've taught it severally though. Let's go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Remind me, we're coming back to Luke 24. Once we're done with Hebrews 1, just come back to Hebrews 22. Luke. Now, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, we established that there's only one logic of God. You know, Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God, the word was made flesh, you know, verse 14. So we see that God's vocabulary is Christ. God does not have double vocabulary. God wanted Christ, or God's plan from beginning of time was Christ. If Christ was a plan that God had after Adam's sin, it would mean that God is not all-knowing. It would mean that God does not know the end from the beginning. Because it would mean that Adam's sin caused God unawares. Yes or true? But God all-knowing had a plan from foundation of time. So his plan was Christ, that he will make man in his own image and male and female will be found in him. Yeah? So God did not have several ways of saying certain things. God had one way. God has always had one way. So we can as well remove that God in the first word in your Hebrews chapter 1 and hold it, put it in verse 2. So since God doesn't speak in diverse ways and diverse manners, God spoke expressly through his son. So God speaking is his son's revelation to mankind. So we see that at sundry times and in diverse manners, in time past, prophets spoke unto the fathers. Yeah? So we can say that the prophet spoke at sundry times, in diverse manners, the prophet spoke unto the fathers. In verse 2, you now remove that God removed from verse 1. You can get the teaching afterwards. God had in this last day spoken unto us by his what? Son. So God did not speak in various ways in the Old Testament, and is coming to now reveal. No, that's why you see a lot of people have a misconception about God and make it look as if Old Testament God is the aggressive God, when New Testament God is the one that is calming God's temper. Eh? So Jesus is all that. That's why you see your knowledge influences the kind of dreams you have. That's why somebody in your full self will go to a heaven, and you will see in that heaven that God is sitting here. Jesus is sitting by the right hand side, and the Holy Spirit, which is a dove in your mind, is just hovering around above two of them. He's just hovering. Yeah? But scriptures will make us understand that Christ is the full expression of God. The best of God mankind can see is Christ. The best of God mankind can see is Christ. That is why, now we'll go back to Luke 24. So we see that God has a definite expression that wanted mankind to follow right from time, which is what? That men are found in Christ. The prophets spoke in diverse manners. Several prophets at several times spoke in several ways. But remember, a prophet is a spokesperson of God. But Jesus is God speaking. You see the difference? See the difference? A prophet is a spokesman of God, is a spokesperson, is speaking of God. That's why you see sometimes when you see Abraham saying something like, "I will bless thee," and God said, "I will bless thee." Abraham is speaking as a prophet on behalf of God. That's why you see when you do tongues interpretation sometimes, yeah, there's some prophecies you say that you sound as God. Yeah? That's what you say, that you sound like God. So when you say the knowledge of God, imagine reading Hebrews where it says that I will put in them a new heart. When you are saying I will put in them a new heart, is it you that is saying that is what I will put in people new heart? No, but you're standing in the place of a prophet. You're standing from the view of a prophet, speaking on behalf of God. So prophet spoke on behalf of God, but Jesus is God speaking. Jesus is the express speaking of God. Jesus is the express vocabulary of God. Jesus is God made known to mankind. Jesus is the full revelation of God. Jesus is the entire vocabulary of God. So that is why you cannot explain God without explaining Christ. Any God you can explain without explaining Christ is not the God that is the real God. Because even God wants to explain himself from his son. God wants to explain himself. God explained himself. God has shown himself to mankind through his son. So that's to say, the things that Christ did when he was on earth, the things that Christ did when he was on earth, if the prophets that spoke in diverse manners, remember, they spoke in diverse manners. They spoke in diverse manners. They spoke several ways. But the truth remains that if you look at Christ and what they said is not consistent with what Christ did when he was on earth, it simply means that those things they said were not about God. So when that's why we say something, our bias as believers when we read scriptures is what? The lens of Christ. Christ is our bias of scriptures. So when you are reading scriptures, you are looking at Christ. When you are seeing Noah's ark, what you are thinking about is God's saving ability, not God sending storm to destroy the world. We are to think Christ. So Christ is the express image of God. So when you see that God killed, when you now see scriptures where it says that God killed, when you see scriptures where it says God asked this one to use cutlass to behead this one's head, that can never be God. Because if you are saying that is God, we are simply saying that God has a dual nature. So what makes us sure that God will not change in 2050? We're not sure. Yeah. So every point where you see, Bible says that God said, go and kill. God said, go and kill. What you need to do is what? Look at the lens of Christ. How did Christ do this? You remember, Elijah called down fire. Did he? Was it Elijah or Elisha? Elijah called down fire. Did he? Did fire respond? Was that of God? Can never be of God. Because the disciples of Jesus wanted to call down fire on people. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 9? The Bible says he turned and rebuked them and said, know ye not which kind of what kind of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to kill, but to what? Save lives. So if you read John 10:10, and the thief cometh but to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I've come to give life, that means anywhere you see that God killed or destroyed or to steal or stole anything from anybody, simply means that God was a thief at the time. Because only a thief that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, and that great thief is Satan. Not Christ, Satan. Hallelujah. So we see that Christ is the explanation of scriptures. So we will see what Christ said, and we will see today what exactly did Christ do. Yeah? What did Christ do? Go back to Luke 24. Yeah? Beautiful, you are there. He says, all fools are slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Look at what he says. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? So a good way to read verse 26 will be that there was a conversation of these things or an event that was happening. Which is that they were talking about, he was not there, he is there, something is happening. So, Jesus, a good way to read verse 26 would be that, ought not Christ to have suffered all these things that are happening? Is that good? Is that a good way to read that? So, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, all these things that are happening, and to enter into his glory, which is what? To go into a place he has never been before, to go into a place for the first time. And that's the believer. So, Christ entering into his glory is what? Entering into the believer. What did Jesus do right after that? Look at that. Look at that, people of God. What did he do after that? Look at the next verse. And what? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. That word "and" is not witches. It's not beginning at Moses, which is all the prophets. No, Moses is not all the prophets. So it is, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So all the prophets that spoke in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Nehemiah, Hosea, all of them. At the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When Isaiah was speaking about by stripes we are healed, remember, those that are spiritually sick have now been saved, which is by giving eternal life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at it. The scriptures, he said, Bible says, so we can summarize beginning at Moses and all the prophets to be equal to scriptures. So Jesus and beginning at the scriptures or picking the scriptures, Bible says, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Yeah, so now, from this verse, you can observe something. The truth remains that it is not everything in scriptures that is about Christ. Amen? Amen? It's not everything in scriptures. So how do we use our... So we trust the apostolic doctrine and trust their view on scriptures and how they explain scriptures. Remember, they had learned a disposition from Christ in explaining scriptures. That's why you see Paul will say something. The same things that I have committed unto you, commit them unto what? Faithful men who are able to teach others. That's the circle. What Christ committed unto the apostles is what the apostles committed to other apostles that kept coming up to our time. The reason why we have several divisions or several interpretations of scriptures is because one man just woke up one of those days and just said, no, everyone cannot be saying the same thing now. But this thing, there's something, and he just has for me his own doctrine. But Jesus, the guy, or rather the man that gave you what? Salvation. Explained his salvation that he was given from where? Scriptures. How the Acts put it, he explained from scriptures concerning the kingdom of God. Remember, kingdom of God is figurative for what? The resurrection. Yeah? So, he was explaining about the resurrection. When Matthew 6:23 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you, he's saying that desire to look forward to what? The resurrection. The resurrection is the kingdom of God. Resurrection is that kingdom of God. So, we see that Jesus explained himself from scriptures. That means as believers, when we want to have a doctrinal stand, where do we get our doctrinal stand from? Scriptures. Now, not just scriptures, but a proper exegesis of scriptures. You know, there's a difference between exegesis and exegesis. Exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S, and exegesis, E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. Exegesis is trying to read in context and understand what the author of what you are reading is saying in the context of what he is saying. Exegesis is simply imposing your thought system to make it fitting by force. Exegesis is what? Reading in context to find out what the author, the writer, every writing had a purpose. Every author of every writing had a purpose as to why it was writing. In as much as several people can give several interpretations to what he wrote, it doesn't change the fact that there was a particular purpose for writing. So we are to do exegesis of scriptures to find out what the purpose was or is. Why exegesis, E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S, it is superimposing your thought system, and often at times, and you can say it this way, exegesis is really superimposing your unrenewed mind on the word of God. Unrenewed mind. That's why you see, as believers, we're not asked to say our mind. No scripture says, say your mind the way it is. Mm-mm. Scripture says what? Renew your mind. So when you see topics trending online, you have no business to comment. You have no business. You know, it's very rude when you even see some people, their pastors keep quiet about certain topics. That in itself should be an example to you as a believer. How did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11 verse, follow me as I follow Christ? So if your pastor is the one that is your mentor, that you look up to, that is your father, when you see certain topics you don't speak about, you should keep short. That a topic is trending on Twitter doesn't mean you are entitled to speak. You are not to speak your mind. That's why you see a lot what people say is you think there is truth in what they are saying, but often at times it's actually a speaking of an unrenewed mind. So guys, we live in a generation where sinners are judging other sinners for sinning differently. Now man, where they catch, they steal goats, now he be thief. In other words, people will say a thief stole my goat. No, I cannot call you a thief until you are seen stealing a goat. So we see sin, you see different. See what I said though? Different men accusing other men for sinning differently from their sin they are battling with. If you check it well, this is not doctrinal, but if you check it well, a lot of people that are very loud when scandals happen are the ones that battle with the most in their private lives. So a good way to express that thing that they are dissatisfied about is to express to other men. Simple. It's simple. Love should be the foundation of everything you do, you say. You see, I ask people a very simple question. You are accusing a man's, you're accusing a child's father for something he did. And the first thing you are shouting is, kill him, kill him, kill him. He must die. He must go to jail for 200 years. Yeah? A simple question. Is your father above mistake? No. If your father is there, will you be the one to say kill him? You can't say yes. Except you don't have a relationship with your father. Except you hate your father from time. Even if you hate your father from time. as believers, I want to say in my mind, see, bro, I want to tell you the peace of my mind. I want to tell you that it take do me. It is to renew your mind. What does scripture says about conflict? What does scripture says about things you are going through? Brother, you offended me. I acknowledge you offended me. This is what scripture says. I forgive you. Don't feel bad to walk up to me to ask for anything. I've actually forgiven you. But nowadays, believers, hallelujah. So we're dealing with the reality of our redemption. See, the fact that we have been redeemed. Well, what is redemption? Write this down in your notes. Write this down in your notes. Redemption is what? It refers to the price that is paid on for something or for someone. Redemption refers to the price that is paid for something or someone. Redemption refers to the price that is paid for something or someone. The price of a material determines the value of that material. The price of a material determines the value of that material. Do you know, there are some clothes you wear that do not look expensive. But when they tell you the price of how much they bought that clothes, from that day you begin to exalt that clothes. Amen? What, now, why do you think we have cars and cars? No, there's car and there are cars. And then there's motor. In fact, we have some that are vehicle. Vehicle. So there's, why do you think there's difference between vehicle, motor? I've not noticed, no matter how Christianized you are, there's a gift somebody will give you. That the prayer that will come from within. See, there's some gifts that the people will give you that will fuel in you a passion for the Holy Ghost. There's a gift that people will give you that will fuel in you a passion for prayer. It's when they give you that gift, you say, and Jesus went to the wilderness. You go to the wilderness and you are praying. What are you praying for? Lord, this man must not die. He must not die. He must live to see the fruit of his life. You know those kind of prayer. His children, he will be alive to take care of his children. Yes. And you blast in tongue. There's some gifts. What are some gifts they will give you? Oh, give my peer. So there are gifts and there are gifts. When you know the value of a gift. No, imagine they give you a Bentley. Yeah. No, think about it. They give you a Bentley. What's the first thing you will do? Me. Guess what I'll do? No, I'm not carnal. No. Guess what I'll do? I'll sell it and come to the gospel. Glory. Let's assume I didn't even have car before. I'll sell it and come to the gospel. I say, mommy, you know, the gospel teaches that a heart of a man. So imagine they give you a Bentley. No, think about it. You know, you see, if somebody gives you a gift of a car, the way you appreciate that person is different from the way you appreciate the person that gave you Pocket Square. Even Pocket Square, there are two categories. You know, so the price of a material or something determines the value. Remember that example I always give? People that usually open bonnets to put anointing oil to dedicate their cars. How come they don't do it for Lexus Jeep? But they do it for Toyota Corolla CE. Or Toyota Corolla X. Why? Because you know that you can pour oil on a very sensitive part of the engine and you use 200 or 2 million to repair it. So when you say, Pastor, this is a gift. Pastor, say, open the bonnet. No. Pastor, say, just lay your hands. I believe in the ministry of laying on of hands. Oh, you're right. Oh, God said, this one we even say, just speak the word. Don't touch it. Just speak the word. So, you know, the price of a material determines the value. The value. You know, there's some shop. You know, all these top guys that are into Calvin Klein. You know, all those top guys that are into all those things. You know, there's some material you see them selling. I'd be like, this bag, £2,000. This bag, £2,000. People like me, I like to ask questions. What does it come with? You know, it might be that they are displaying already the bag. And when you open the bag, what the real thing they're saying is really inside. How can you put the bag like this and just display it on the shelf and say £2,000? £2,000. You know what £2,000 is? That's how we're not in Nigeria. Shasha will not convert them. Shasha will not convert them. So that's something. We know exchange rate. Well, well. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. It's good to be a Nigerian. Certain aspects of life you will never experience if you are not a Nigerian. So how does a believer know his value? A believer knows his value by the price that was paid for him. A believer knows his value by the price that was paid for him. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. We're going to read so many scriptures now in the next 15-20 minutes. So many scriptures just to emphasize our redemption. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man, which is the man Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. Who gave himself as a ransom for all? Who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time? You know something? You remember that word ransom? You know how when kidnappers kidnap people, they ask for a ransom, right? So it is a price that is to be paid to ensure your release. And that price that they ask or they request for must be equal to what they think your value is. Amen. So now it says Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Look at Matthew 26. The ransom. Christ is the price paid for our redemption. Christ is the price paid for our sanctification. Christ is the price paid for our salvation. Matthew 26 verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the what? Remissions of sin. It is shed. Now, Christ gave himself and gave his blood. Now, his blood was what? Shed for the remission of sin. So why did Christ die? For remission of sin. Christ did not die to give you a better house. Christ did not die to give you a mansion. Christ did not die to give you a jet. If not, every believer should have a jet in Nigeria. Yeah? Every believer should have a jet, because you know how many millions of believers we have in Nigeria, talk more of in the world. So Christ, his blood was shed. That's why you see some people talk about blood money. Blood money in the Christian way. Oh, Christ shed his blood for my money. I acquire wealth. I lay up gold as dust. You are just covetous. I lay up gold as dust. If every believer is laying up gold as dust, which gold? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Every believer has gold as dust. You know, that's what I was teaching last year. Even if every believer on earth is, if every man on earth is a believer, some believers will still be slaves and some will be masters. Not every believer can be a master. So your confession is not, God, you have called me to be a master. I walk in my reality. Okay? If you don't qualify for certain realities, you will not get it. And that qualification is physical qualification. Think about it. You didn't go to school. You are going to apply to share. You're not even applying as even office desks, even receptionists. Share might not take people that don't go to school. Yeah? Do you understand? You stop in primary six. It's not a sin to stop in primary six. Is it a sin? No. You are complete in Christ. Abi? But you stop in primary six. And your pastor has gingered you. Oh, you are more than this. There's a lion in you. And you said, you don't know that there's no lion in you. You are now blinded by what the pastor is lying on you. You now go and preach your own CV. The major details of your CV, that's why you see sex, nationality, you see, because you don't have any qualification. Sex, nationality, address, and date of birth, you know, all those details. And that's why you're paying. You now go to share. I take possession. All things are mine. Whatever I decree, I'll have. You are deceiving yourself. Think about it. If you are the owner of Shell and two people come for interview, one finish with a first class and a master's and has a PhD, and the other one stop in primary six. No matter how that one does in primary six, praise. If you are the owner of the company, will you pick him over the PhD? I see. So the things we will not do for others, we are decreeing and prophesying over ourselves. The things you will not agree for others, you are doing it. You are making your faith confession. That's why I say something. A lot of times, when people call faith confession is an amplification of their fear. See, does Dangote need to wake up January 1st and say, this year I will make more money? Does he need to? This year is my year of more money. That's why you see, Dangote cannot come for crossover meeting. Even if Dangote become a believer, he needs to go to specific type of churches. Because when you say this is your year of moving forward, that would take, even as much that Dangote wants more, or this is your year of supernatural breakthrough. Please, Biko, what supernatural breakthrough does Dangote need? I be Dangote is supernatural breakthrough of that church. Yes, now. It's not supernatural. It's not breakthrough. If it drops offering, church dimension has not changed. It's changed. Think about it. Femi Otedola gave his daughter 5 billion. Yes, let's assume he exalts God over over his daughter. That means the probability that Femi Otedola can give over 5 billion to a church. Sorry, if they give 5 billion as a pastor, is that a spiritual breakthrough? Is that not a prayer answered? So, a lot of times, what we call prayer answered, or the things we are praying for to be answered, is actually men. Hallelujah. So we know the price, we know the worth of a man by the price that was paid for that man. That is why we hold the highest in a believer as God's rich man, because we know the price that was paid for him. That price was what? The blood. The blood. Look at Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 20. Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying that is when you, what you call the Lord's Supper. He says, and this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is what? Shared for you. Look at verse 19. It is for remissions of sin. Christ died for remissions of sin. Your money is not part of the blood that Christ shed. Your money is not assured because Christ died. Hallelujah. In fact, to make it worse is when you begin to think that you need to now give God something for him to bless you materially. It becomes worse. Comes worse, because what you are praying to God for him to help you, that you are so, that you are going to the wilderness to pray for, is what a man sits in his office and he analyzes and he invests and he makes the money in a few years. So how do you know your value? The price. The price. Look at Romans 3, verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that, through the what? Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So there's a specific redemption that is found where? In Christ Jesus. Look at verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in what? His blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of what? Sins that are passed through the forbearance of what? God. So the price that was paid is the blood shed. So the blood that Christ shed is the price paid. Hallelujah. The blood that Christ shed is the price paid. The blood that Christ shed is the price paid. Look at Acts 20 verse 28. Acts 20 verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had what? Purchased with his what? With his what? With his own blood. Galatians 3:13. The death of Christ, the blood, the death of Christ, the blood of Christ that was shed is equal to what? The price that was paid for your redemption. Look at Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ has redeemed us, what? He has redeemed us from the what? Curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses every man that hangeth on the tree. So by his death, he has redeemed us. Lift your hand and say, I'm redeemed by the death and resurrection of Christ. Glory to God. Look at Titus 2 verse 14. Titus chapter 2 verse 14. He says, who gave himself for us, that he might what? Redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. He gave himself for us. He gave himself for us is equal to the blood that was shed for us. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 7 verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 23. Ye are bought with a what? Price, be not ye the servant of what? Men. You are bought with a price. What is the price that bought you? The blood of Christ. Say, I have been bought eternally by the blood of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are bought by the price that was paid, which is what? Jesus giving himself. That's why our redemption is where? In Christ. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 7. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have what? Redemption. How do we have redemption? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. So is God rich? What is he rich in? In grace. What is God rich in? In grace. What is God rich in? Grace. It is by these riches of grace that he has supplied his son, yes, which is what? Given, which was what? Given as a propitiation for our what? Sins, for the remission of our sins. So when you say God is rich, as a believer, your mindset should go to the fact that God is rich in reference to what? Grace, in reference to mercy. So we have redemption. So God, by his riches, according to his riches of his grace, according to his riches of his grace, he has what? Provided redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Lift your hand and say, I have forgiveness of sins. A believer has forgiveness of sins forever. A man that has been bought by the eternal blood of Christ has been redeemed forever. They're scared. Let people not go into license of sin. Man doesn't, when you were born, when you were growing up, who told you how to say worker? Who told you that? You say stupid boy. You know, a lot of us, when we grow up, we become closer to our siblings. On so many occasions, because of the number of insults we exchanged amongst ourselves when we were younger. Your father called you. Tell me. Anybody that offends you, the first thing you say is you are an idiot. Repeat after me. When you stole meat from that pot, who taught you how to steal and to lie? Do you understand? Do you understand what I say? I don't know. Maybe it comes with the spirit of a Nigeria. A man that was born in Nigeria default knows how to tap toe into the kitchen and open the pot carefully. Either you watch it, I don't know if it's Nollywood we watch carelessly. I don't just know. We just have that ability. I will know how to pick the ones that will easily fit into our mouth. Check it now. What you were stealing? You are not stealing big meat. You're not stealing big meat. You're stealing the ones that will easily enter your mouth. I want to put it. when they ask you what is happening, okay, say, Pastor Dusty, what's wrong with it? No. Even you see your mouth, you. I've been sold out to the gospel right from time. You know, but the truth is, I didn't really, in as much as we didn't have a lot when we were growing up, we didn't really live in an environment where things were hidden. You know, I know friends that their mothers count their chicken after frying it. Don't laugh, there are some of them that are here. And there are some of you that will do that to your children. You say, ah. You say it's training. This is how we start. Before you go to the market, you buy chicken. You ask them to open it, you count it before you cook it. When you're cooking it, you will still count it as a one, you're washing it one by one, putting it. When the thing is ready and it's pudding, you'll say, but chicken has two lap. Chicken has two lap. Why am I seeing just one? You now pick another plate, you put another one. What is the thing now counting meat before you put it in the freezer? But man, I didn't really grow up that way. So I didn't really have, I can't really say that. I'm not trying to be sold out to Christ, you know, but I know I've taken meat once in a while, but it was on the confidence we have, this confidence we have in Christ Jesus. glory to the Lord. Yeah. But look at it in the real sense. How do you not take meat from the pot? Yeah. Hallelujah. So we've been paid, we've been purchased by the blood of Christ. So the fact that once a man believes, he has been sentenced to eternal life without his permission. No man that was saved, that is saved, can ever be unsaved. No man that has been saved can ever be unsaved. Why? Because your salvation is not dependent on you. You have no strength to keep your salvation. Our salvation is dependent fully on Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. It's not just by shouting, finish works. When you ask them, can a man lose salvation? They say yes. Hebrews 9:11. Look at it though. He says, but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Look at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his what? Own blood. So by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Christ has entered into the holy place once and for all. A man that believes is saved once and for all. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained what? Now, when he entered once, what did he obtain? What did the scripture say he obtained? Eternal redemption for who? For us. So a man that has been redeemed cannot be unredeemed. For a man to be born again and lose his salvation, Christ has to die and never resurrect. The assurance we have is in the fact that Christ being our surety is alive forever. Glory to God. That's what we call it, the new man. We're new man. I am that new man in Christ. Why? Because he has entered once and he has provided for me eternal redemption. I am saved forever. Nothing can undo it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Eternal redemption has been provided by the Lamb, by the blood of Christ. So salvation is based on what, look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17. Salvation is based on what Christ did and he and what he did alone. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You see what I just said? You see what I just said? If Christ dies and he doesn't rise, if Christ died and he didn't rise again, then we can doubt eternal salvation. But the ability of God to raise Christ from the dead, you know how Peter explained, he says, whom ye killed, whom you crucified, God had raised him from the dead. Prophets, prophecies went in Psalm 16. He says, you will not allow your holy ones to suffer corruption. Means that Christ will never remain in the land of the dead. It means, he said, at the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Why is there fullness of joy? Because Christ resurrected from the land of the dead once and for all. He has paid the price in full. Look at it. You teach, if you teach salvation is not eternal, independent of a man's work, yet you are saying that when a man is born again, angels rejoice. Please tell me why they're rejoicing. If they can lose the salvation tomorrow. But as the angels want to do a Galileo, Jesus say, come, come, come. You know, you might misbehave tomorrow. No, once you believe in that fact that Christ came and died and he rose again and he lives in the believer, you are saved forever. You are saved until the end of time. Your responsibility of your salvation is dependent on Christ. You've been redeemed fully by his blood, his spirit. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, I'm saved forever. See, the work of salvation is dependent on God alone. You cannot help God. That's why you see scripture says that your righteousness is a filthy rag. You cannot help God. You are too weak to help God. Think about yourself. Can you help yourself well? If you can help yourself well, you should not be walking where you are walking now. Sila. Is it not true? So you cannot even help yourself for normal salary every month. You want to help God for an eternal reality. No, we cannot. Salvation and having eternal life is only through faith in Christ Jesus. Only through faith in Christ Jesus. Independent of your works. Your works is a fruit of that belief. That you believe and God calls you holy and righteous, redeemed from eternal condemnation, is what should influence your living right. Don't try to live right to impress God. You cannot impress God. You are too small to impress God. Even as you are disbelieving that eternal salvation can possibly be not eternal, you have disappointed God. But God is that is rich in mercy. Isaiah knows that salvation is what by faith and faith alone in Christ. So the believer has an assurance of his salvation. A believer has an assurance of his salvation. Look at Hebrews 5 verse 9. Hebrews 5 verse 9 quickly. And being made perfect, he became the author of what? Okay, have you written that in your notes? Hebrews 5 verse 9. Everyone, let's read together. Verse 5, chapter 5 verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. He became. So who are those that obey him? Those that believe. Remember, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. If thou be willing and obedient, thou shalt what? Eat the good of the land. What Isaiah taught as willingness and obedience is actually believing in the gospel. Because the previous verse said that if your sins be as red as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. That's an offering and provision for eternal salvation. So he says that to them that we obey, an Old Testament way of saying believe is obey. That is to say Abraham obeyed God. But it is belief. So have you obeyed God as believers? Yes, by believing. So he's saying that he's the author of eternal salvation. What Christ has to give is eternal. Anything, see, Why did Christ ask us to go and preach the gospel? Because that offering is once and for all, and once a man believes, he says, look at it. If salvation is not eternal, it should mean that Jesus should have given an example that when I'm going and I preach, oh, your sins have been forgiven in Christ, another person should be following him behind. Make sure you follow the right path. If not, it's not complete. He says, preach, go into the world and teach. Why are we teaching? See, why do you think disciples were killed? It's because what they were saying was almost beyond comprehension. Look at it now. No, you know that if you tell an average mind that you are saved, but your works will keep your salvation, he will not fight you. It's logical. So if that's what Peter was saying, why were they looking to kill them? Why are they looking to kill them? Stephen. Think about it. If Stephen was preaching, you can be it. There's a lion in you. The you in you is bigger than the you that you are. If that's what Peter was teaching, why would they want to kill him? So he's encouraging them. Is that he was teaching the eternal work of redemption. And it was almost too good to be true. And he said, stop blaspheming and bear God. They killed them. Because they were saying, I'm almost too good to be true news. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 22. By so much was Jesus made the what? The surety of a better coming. Look at verse 25. Wherefore he is able, listen to this, look at it, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he, who is the he? Is able to what? Save them to when? Everybody read the scriptures together. Open your Bible and check the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. Look at that, look at that, He is able to say to the uttermost. How do we know that? Because he ever lived to make it intercession for them. Now, when he's saying he's making it intercession for him, he's not saying that Christ is praying every day. No, it is that it is his living that is the intercession for us. It is the fact that he is living that is the intercession. So it is that saying that he ever lived making intercession. So it, the intercession that he is making is in the fact that he is living, not that he's doing anything, because the work that is supposed to be done has been done. That's why I say it is finished. God says to the uttermost. The word there, uttermost, is the word that means uttermost. The other word for uttermost there means forever. Another word forever is everlasting. Another word for everlasting is eternal. So it is in his living that we have it. And so his intercession is in the fact that he is living. Glory to God. This is because he is risen. Say, Christ is risen. Have been saved to the uttermost. Look at 1 John 2 verse 1 and 2. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you. Look at this verse very carefully. This is write I unto you. And if any man sin, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, he's saying, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. He's saying, don't sin. But even if anyone sin, we have an advocate, right? With the Father, Jesus. Look at verse 2. And is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us alone, but also for the sins of the world. Look at verse 12. I write unto you, my little children, because you what? You have sins, and your sins are forgiven. You are forgiven you for his name's sake. He told them in verse 1, he says, my little children, make sure you don't sin. Sin not. But even if you sin, you have a propitiation of our sins. He's not saying go ahead and sin because of the propitiation. It is that even if there is a propitiation, there are two different things. One is saying, go and sin because there is a propitiation. One is saying, even if you sin, even if you find yourself in anything that is not of God, there is a propitiation for sin. That's why a proper teaching of God's love changes the minds of people, changes the hearts of people. The only thing, the only change that mankind needs is the change of salvation. The only change, that every man in every world in the world needs is that change that only salvation provides. I've seen salvation change men. I've seen the teaching of God's word change men. I've seen the truth of God's word taught with accuracy and precision change men. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 8 verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation which I am to them that are where? Christ Jesus. Look at verse 8 quickly. Call about time. Let's look at verse 8. Make sure you write all the scriptures down. Verse 8, he said, so then they are they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at verse 9, 8 to 12. Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man that hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 9. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of what? Righteousness. Look at verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now this is not talking about the fact that because Christ's spirit dwells in you, you cannot be sick. No. The quickening of mortal bodies is in the second coming, what you call second coming. The redemption of the purchased possession, how Paul wrote it to Ephesians. So he's saying that the spirit of God, so how do you know you will rise again? Is that there's a spirit that rose Christ from dead. And because of the faithfulness of that spirit, we know that the believer that believes that will rise from the dead because the spirit dwells in him forever. Hallelujah. The spirit dwells in the believer forever. It says, Christ will be now. The same spirit that raised shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Glory to God. Look at John 10:28. And I give unto you what? See, Jesus was specific about the kind of life he came to give. I give unto you what? Eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, that word man is in bracket, that means it's not in the initial manuscript, yeah? A good way to read the Bible. So, a good way to read verse 28 will be, neither shall anyone or any pluck them from my hands. You see that song DRC sang? I'm forever in you, Jesus. Yeah, you remember that song? Forever after this teaching, we'll just sing that song. Nothing can pluck me from his hands, nothing. Putting Satan. We are in his hands forever. Lift your hand and say, I'm in Christ. I'm engrafted to Christ, in Christ, forever. Look at Jude chapter 24. All I'm just showing you are scriptures that prove the eternity of our salvation. He says, now unto him that is able to what? Keep you from falling. Who is that he that can keep you from falling? Christ Jesus. And to present you faultless before the presence of the glory of his glory with exceeding joy. So in God's faithfulness is an ability for Christ to present you as faultless. Why do you think Christ presents the church as a bride? His bride. That's why you see, when we learn how Christ takes care of the church as a bride, a man should not find it difficult in loving his wife. It is Christ that presents and keeps the woman, which is the church, to be faultless. It is our responsibility, the same way it is Christ's responsibility to keep the church as a bride, faultless to the end of time. It is your responsibility as a man to teach what? To keep your wife as faultless. I've not seen it. The rich men, how do you know they are rich? Check their wives. What do men wear? Ankara, native. Slippers, t-shirts, if I see them walking as if they don't have anything. Look at their wife. Gele. They will tie the gele to be up before the woman that is as short as me, before she reaches here, she's bending down. Look at their fingers. If you allow them, they will add one more finger. Put them on there. Even so, you know some people have that predominant finger. Is it predominant? That small finger that is here. If there's ring for it, they will buy. Their hand alone is tambourine itself. Hallelujah. Nothing can pluck us from his hands. So he says he is able to keep you. Is God able? Yes. God is able to do what he said he will do. He has done what he said he will do, and he will do what he said he will do. In the fact that he will present you as faultless. Why is he? God is able to do what he said he will do. Think resurrection. Think eternal reality. I'm thinking of your job. And you're trying to bribe God. You're trying to wash him. Remember before I did teaching, you're trying to wash God, trying to whine him. Glory to God. He is able. God is capable. Like sometimes you can even allow that song, able God. But don't put that part. Because the other part say, Shara, yeah, man, we want this money. His money. No. Even we want to don't be carnal. Don't even want to shower the blessing. Put eternal life there. Glory to God. Hebrews 10 verse 12. Look at what Hebrews 10 verse 12 says. He says, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. See, a good way to write that translation is even actually to say, look at it, you are writing that translation again. Now, the right hand of God, remember we said it is a figurative expression for the resurrection. It's also a figurative expression for what? A place of authority. So, did Christ sit down on God's place of authority or as God's place of authority? Did Christ sit down on God's place of authority or as God's place of authority? So, a good way to realize is, but this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down as the right hand of God. See, the work is done. It is done. You've been redeemed with that price of the blood that was shed. So you see, it shall be permanent. What the Lord has done for me, don't take your job. Your job can never be permanent. If you misbehave, they will sack you. A job that is permanent is a job that independent of what you do is still permanent. That's the only permanent job. Which job is like that? The father's company. Even your father said, we will scold you. So what is that thing that is eternal? That's fine. It shall be permanent. Beautiful song. What the Lord has done for me, you don't be thinking your car, your house is not permanent. If you don't press brake at this roundabout, what of that will clear you? It says, after he has offered one sacrifice, it is only one sacrifice that makes a believer safe forever. That sacrifice has been offered. He said, it is finished. I have done the will of the Father to provide salvation to mankind eternally. He sat down as the right hand of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 13 verse 5. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For ye have said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Now, what are you supposed to be content with in this verse? He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, when God said, remember Matthew 28 verse 20. Let's read this again. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. Who said he will never leave you? Who said he will never leave you? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. What's the meaning of never? Never means never. To emphasize on it, I say never ever. Never. I'll never leave you. Look at Matthew 28 verse 20. Matthew 28 verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What did he now say later? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Christ never said goodbye. Christ never said, I'll see you later. Christianity doesn't teach an absent Christ. That's why, you see, what you call second coming is actually not actually a coming that is second in the text that Christ is coming from a different realm. It is that Christ is revealed from the believer. In fact, if that is all you need to know about second coming, that's perfect. Because when you say second coming as Christ coming from a different planet, you have indirectly said that lo, I'm with you always is a lie. But he said, I'm with you always. Even to the very end. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't say bye-bye. He didn't say goodbye. He didn't say see you in the day of rapture. No, Christ is here with us. Glory to God. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Christ lives in me forever. Christ lives in me forever. My salvation is dependent on his work. Oh, glory to God. Finally, let's see Hebrews 12 verse 22. Hebrews 10 verse 22. 12 verse 22. Now look at this. I want to make a correction to this verse also. I think I would have done it before, but look at it. But ye are come unto where? Mount Zion. Don't lose track here. Don't lose track here. Ye are come unto where? Mount Zion. That is unto the city of the living God. Mount Zion is not different from the city of the living God. The city of the living God is Mount Zion. So we've come unto Mount Zion. That is the city of the living God. So when you say city of the living God, what are you thinking of? Mount Zion. What did the writer of Hebrews say? He says, we have come. Is he saying we are going to come? We have come. We are that city that Abraham looked forward to. We are that city, we are that building whose builder is Christ and him alone. He says, we have come. Look at it though, look at it though. Don't lose track here. He now says, the heavenly Jerusalem. So what is heavenly Jerusalem? Heavenly Jerusalem is that city of living God, which is what? Mount Zion. See what he says. And to the innumerable company of angels. When you read this verse, what you are thinking is not angels that have wings. You know, say Nigerian angels that have wings. Oh, okay. A lot of us actually think that angels have wings, right? That's how they fly. Tom and Jerry, I'll spoil you. So when you think of innumerable company of angels, what you are going to think is this. Now, remember in Revelations, when John was writing the book of Revelations, and he said to the angel of the church in Ephesus, who is the angel of the church in Ephesus? The word angel is a messenger. So a messenger of the church in Ephesus, who is the messenger to the church in Ephesus, of the church in Ephesus? The bishop of the church, which is the pastor of the church. Who is the angel of God's palace? The pastor of the church. So when you are seeing angels in this verse, don't think angels with wing. It is what? Ministers. Look at it. So he says that we have come to the innumerable company of ministers, messengers. Who are the angels there? You and I. Hallelujah. So innumerable company of angels is you and I. How do we know? Look at the next verse. How do we know? The general assembly, which is the church of the firstborn. You see that? So what he called innumerable company of angels is equal to the general assembly of what? The church, which is equal to what? The church of the firstborn. And who is that? Christ. So who is the church? You and I. That's what I call the body of Christ. So it says, we have come, it says to the general assembly of the church, which you are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, it says, and this to the spirit and to the spirit of just men made perfect. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So innumerable company of angels, it is you and I. It is a messenger. Who is a messenger? A messenger is a man who has a message to give. Who is that messenger in Christ today? A messenger is every man that believes the gospel. He has been given a message of reconciliation. Therefore, he has been called into a ministry of reconciliation, which has made him what? A minister of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Say, I have a ministry of reconciliation. Let us end on John 3:16. Glory to God. John 3 verse 16. How do we read this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. That giving is the price that was paid for your redemption. For God in such a manner loved the world in that he gave his only begotten son, or we can even say it, no, let's not go to that, we'll do that on Wednesday. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But what? Have an everlasting life. What is everlasting life? A life that is everlasting. A life that is forever. We have eaten from that daily bread that was supplied by Christ alone. The giving of that daily bread has been supplied. We have eaten that bread. Every believer has eaten from that bread. Every believer has eaten that bread. Every believer is in that bread. Who is the bread? Your father stored the earth bread in the wilderness from heaven. But I am that bread that comes down from that came down from heaven. So our father stored the earth. Did they eat supernatural bread? Yes. Yes. They ate miraculous bread. But is that the heavenly bread? No. The heavenly bread is one bread. Which is who? Christ. Where is Christ? He lives in you. Why? Because you've eaten of him. So a believer has been satisfied with long life. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, I've been satisfied with long life. Have been redeemed by the blood. Now, upon this knowledge, can we just pray a little?